Hey, folks, welcome to Rantapalooza. I don't know what we're going to finally call it, but you know I tend to have the occasional emotional outburst and expression of my consternation with the situation in this country, mostly regarding the orange Muppet. Excuse me, I can't say that. Muppet. That's just wrong.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
You know, a lot of people have asked me in the last couple of weeks, especially in the last week since the verdict on Trump and his conviction, like, what's the best way to message against Trump? What's the best thing to do? What hits him the hardest right now? And look, guys, I'm going to be really, really direct with you. The convictions are much bigger than you think. And this worries me because some of our Democratic allies are thinking, like, let's move on to policy and talk about electric cars or the economy. No, please, 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 I beg of you. This race, just like 2020, is a referendum on Donald Trump. It's not even a referendum on Joe Biden at a certain level. It's a referendum about Donald Trump. Do you want four more years of that? And we're already getting some data coming out of a lot of research that we're seeing that the convictions are a much bigger impact on Trump than folks think, that they're having a deeper cut on Donald Trump than the conventional wisdom in the media that a lot of the early polling is showing. And I'm convinced that you have to be consistent in the attack on Trump. When I wrote about this in Running Against the Devil, and I said, once you switch on the machine to go at Trump, you're in a war until you're done. One of you dies. One of you falls over. One of you's out of the game. And this is a lesson that people have had to learn over and over and over again. Look, in 2016, Jeb would go out with a line written by a brilliant speechwriter and go, "Why, Donald, you're no conservative." And then Trump would talk about Jeb's dick. And the whole thing would blow up and Jeb wouldn't have a follow-on answer. Or Marco would say, "You know, Donald, little hands mean little." And Trump would say, "You're a Cuban dwarf and I'm going to come down and tear your head off and kick it like a soccer ball." He would always outdo them. So you can't ever let Trump get away with it. And look, we saw that, honestly, with Hillary Clinton, where he would say something outrageous and she would sniff and say, "Oh, that's outrageous and deplorable." And yet, when she punched him back, it always had a sort of like, this is beneath me. I don't want to do this dirty business of negative campaigning. Folks, this is it. This is the biggest negative campaign of all time. This is all it's going to be. There's no inspiration here that's going to change the mind of a guy with a Punisher decal, erectile dysfunction, knockoff dollar store Oakley sunglasses, and a Ford F-250 he's paying $1,800 a month on a 14% note. Nobody's going to change that guy's mind. He's with Trump forever and ever. Amen. The way you change this battlefield is that you talk to the people at the Lincoln Project that we're going to talking to, moderate Republicans, independent-leaning conservatives, more affluent, more educated voters. Those folks have objections to Trump that are aesthetic, moral, cultural. And what wraps up all those kind of objections, moral, aesthetic, and cultural objections? Criminality. It's why you have to keep this battle up. You can't put the sword down because he is a criminal. And while a lot of MAGAs will not believe it, or they'll push back on you when you say it, or they'll get offended, or they'll say, "It's weaponized justice system." Donald Trump was found guilty so far 34 times. On July 11th, he will face a sentencing hearing for the crimes he has been adjudicated and judged and convicted of by a jury of his peers in Manhattan. That criminality should be a defining message, a through point, a drumbeat, a line that runs through all the communications going forward, that his eccentric, crazy Trump act cannot disguise that he's a felon. His phony populism cannot disguise that he's a felon. His appeals to the worst aspects of humanity, the darkest behavioral things in humanity, it's not acceptable. He's a felon. All these things, we're not trying to convert the MAGA base. We're not trying to split off the red hat guys. We're not trying to split off the hardest evangelicals who think that Trump is Jesus. We're trying to move the ball with a limited number of people. The Biden campaign should be focused on this too. Outside groups should be focused on it. And look, there are a million jobs to do in this campaign. I'm not saying the Lincoln Project can do them all. I'm not saying we can or should do them all. But there are a lot of things out there right now that are absolutely vital to be done. And one of the biggest is to keep talking to these swing Republican voters, these people that kept voting, including this week, for Nikki Haley and Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis and everybody else, that they looked at the Republican primary and said, I've got options, thank God. Now, they weren't great options. They were pretty terrible options overall, but they kept running to them. They kept running away from Trump. Look, Nikki Haley has gotten between 10 and 50% of the vote so far in a Republican primary landscape where she's been out of the race for nearly 3 months and has endorsed Donald Trump. People are still voting for her to send a signal about Donald Trump. If you don't think that the criminality and the convictions against him are useful political tools, I have bridges and golf courses to sell you with the Trump name branded thoroughly on top of them. It's killing him. And look, folks, we're famous for doing ads that get in Trump's head. But 90% of what we do is not that. 90% of what we do is talking to actual voters. 90% of what we do is out in the states, and you never see the ads. We don't put them on YouTube. We don't blast them out on social media because they're targeted to a very, very narrow set of people. Why don't I see your ads on broadcast television? Because my people ain't watching broadcast television. But getting in Trump's head, it has a benefit. And we know from our people around the Trump world, and God knows we still have them. I will be honest, not as great as they were in 2020. In 2020, we had two blistering, white-hot, amazing sources in Trump's universe. This time, B-minus, C-plus, but better than nothing, right? Everyone in his world right now knows two things. They know, one, that Tony Fabrizio's polling came back after this thing, and it wasn't great. They may be blustering and BSing you that it was amazing, and, oh, it's the best thing since prepared mustard. It's not great. It shows a meaningful weakness with them. He knows it. They know it. But being in Trump's head on that is important because Donald Trump does not want to go to prison. Mary Trump has said it many, many times, and she's a brilliant observer of her uncle. Donald Trump fears for his personal security more than anything else. The greatest thing about being in the White House for Donald Trump was he was surrounded by tall, strapping, handsome men with guns. And I'll leave you to judge that on your own accord. But the idea that Trump has in his head right now that is making him rattle his cage on Truth Social every minute of the day, the idea he has in his head that's making him so crazy right now is that he could be sent to prison and the Secret Service would make a deal with the Bureau of Prisons and he'd be put in like a trailer somewhere on the grounds of a prison by himself. No cell phone, no laptop, no Twitter, no Truth Social, no TV, no YouTube, nothing. The same thing every other prisoner gets, nothing. Maybe you get a TV with like six broadcast channels on it. Maybe you get a Bible to read. Maybe you get library privileges. I don't think Donald Trump's been in a library his entire adult life, or possibly his entire life. But he fears the deprivation of prison. He fears the deprivation of being out of the media every day. Because look, we know the media would cover it day one, day two, day three. What about day 35? What about day 50? At that point, he starts to disappear from the media. And for Trump, that's death. For Trump, he believes and needs to be in the media more than any other human being you've ever met in your life. You know, there used to be an old joke in Washington that the most dangerous place in D.C. was between Ted Cruz and a TV camera. Ted does love to see himself on television. But Donald Trump loves it by an order of magnitude that is inexpressible. He loves it in a way that I can't even give you like a rational description of it because the narcissism, the black hole of his narcissism, the singularity of his need for attention and regard is so powerful, so intense. I mean, I'm going to be shocked if the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Psychiatry doesn't eventually come up with an entirely new category of narcissism based on Donald Trump. So as we watch this threat to him in his mind, yes, going to jail would be the nightmare of nightmares of nightmares. He'll never get clean again. He'll never get it off. Never get the smell off of him, and he'll have to go in there without hair products, without makeup, without bronzer, without the preparation H he puts under his eyes for the bags under his eyes, without all of the things that comfort Donald Trump. He'll look like a normal 60 or 77-year-old convict. He'll look like a pasty old fat white guy. He won't look like the idealized Trumpian image of himself. Now, a second scenario that's pretty bad for Trump too is that he ends up having to do community service on probation. He wears an ankle bracelet. He cannot associate with felons, which means, by the way, Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, all the other people in Trump's orbit, and there are a lot, who are felons. Even if they've been pardoned, they're still felons. He's not allowed to associate with criminals because he's a criminal. And the parole situation in New York, it's not lightweight. It's not easy time. It's not sort of like you can't send a minion to go check in with your parole officer. He's going to have to be in a very different universe. Another scenario is he has to go clean graffiti and sweep up the streets and serve food in a homeless shelter. None of that is for Trump much better than going to jail. He doesn't like any of this stuff. So it's in his head. The scope of punishment is in his head right now. He can't get it out. If you keep doing things to poke that, if you keep poking his little dirty little amygdala with fear and loathing of what's going on, and the reminder every single minute of the day that he's criminal, what you end up with is not Donald Trump in command of his emotions and his campaign, but Donald Trump recklessly freewheeling across the entire spectrum every day, acting like a complete lunatic nutcase. There's a lot to be said here for the psychological warfare that all of us, I should encourage, should be waging on Donald Trump. I mean, when Joe Biden said to Donald Trump, "I hear you're free on Wednesdays," during the trial, I know for a fact that sent Trump into orbit, that he lost his mind. So every time you can poke him, you should poke him. He's going to do this to Joe Biden as we go forward. And look, folks, we're in a war now. We're in a shooting war. And do not think you're going to bring a throw pillow to a gunfight. Trump is going to be the dirtiest, most aggressive, most foul campaigner in the history of American politics. He is going to repeat every horseshit, weird conspiracy theory about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe's family that you've ever heard of on the internet, and a lot you haven't. They're going to be disgusting and horrifying. Donald Trump is going to drag this race down so far into the dirt that everyone who right now who has these moral niceties like, "Oh, I don't like the negative stuff," and the voters don't either, they don't care. Voters remember the negative, and they will remember the negative. And the question is, who's delivering it best to convince them? Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed this segment. We're adding this into the Lincoln Project podcasting mix. Our crack team of legal experts and researchers is at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, even as we speak, deciding if I can call it Rick Hates the Orange Fuck Muppet or Rantapalooza, or, oh God, is Rick Wilson having an aneurysm by screaming into the camera? We've got a lot of potential names for this, but we're going to use it as a point every week where I can sort of consolidate the ranting I would ordinarily do about Donald Trump in separate videos and in other things. You know, you can follow Lincoln, again, on all the usual platforms at Project Lincoln. You can follow me at The Rick Wilson on Threads, The Nice Place, Instagram, Twitter. I think I'm on Facebook, but who the hell knows? I am on True Social, but I don't use True Social because I don't want cooties. You can also check out my personal writing at Substack, The Rick Wilson, and my other podcast, The Enemies List, available where all fine podcasts are sold. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning into the Lincoln Project podcast. We hope you will like, follow, leave a review, do all the things that make this podcast and the Lincoln Project's work better able to reach more Americans as we enter into the closing months of the biggest fight of our lives. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, and good luck.